entered the building.
Hypothetical fans, welcome back to PTB NXT. We are back on schedule, shockingly, for episode 19 as we head into the final march into, I guess, this is such a weird takeover name, Jenny and Tim. We
have
R-Evolution, but we are on the precipice, if you will. How y'all doing?
I mean, that is one of the many, many gripes I will have with this batch of episodes tonight. So, I'm feeling sassy, Jacob. What about you, Tim?
I think after this batch of episodes, we ourselves may be considered hypothetical fans of NXT.
That is amazing. That's our show, folks. We're done.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess we should get right into the names because I don't know. I don't even know what else to say at this point. I don't have any. I need 2 months if I'm going to come up with some, you know, non sequitur intro comment.
You don't have any small talk, Jacob? Come on.
I don't know. Like, for one, I feel like we I know this is like a trope, like everybody says this now, but I feel like we literally recorded the last episode like 3 days ago. And normally it kind of feels like it's been a while. Normally when we do these, it's been a while, but this one felt like, I was like, shit, we're actually doing this again. It seems like we just did one. I guess that's what it's like when we do it on time.
Yeah, I'm pushing y'all to schedule something because my schedule is a mess. So, like, we gotta get this done. All right.
But yeah, I guess we can, we'll go right into the names because we'll have a lot to unpack on this. A chunk of episode. So, Tim, would you like to tell us our previous names that we had?
Yeah, you bet. So, Jake, you are currently known as Manny Bradley. And for some reason, I have in parentheses 205 Live Bound.
Look at your fantasy booking.
Yeah, didn't have high hopes for that right out of the gate.
More like nightmare booking.
More like falling off the armchair. I am known. Well, okay. So using my real name here, I am Timothy McCracken.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the McCracken brothers. I think.
Of the McCracken.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And the brothers McCracken. Should we mention real quick that we were smartened up by our friends across the pond that is apparently has a different meaning in England?
I didn't catch the meaning. I don't know.
Well,
I think it's just like your ass or something.
Oh, McCracken, like the crack of.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm a great import or perhaps export to NXT UK.
Uh-huh.
Do we think I'm the leader of the McCracken clan?
I think you're the little brother.
Not even like the lieutenant, just sort of, or the enforcer, just sort of an also-ran.
Well, if you're in NXT UK, you're the leader by default because I'm assuming the rest of your clan got canceled, like most of PTB, not PTB NXT.
No, that's yet to come.
In about 90 minutes.
Jenny, you're have the very fitting name of Slab Meat Castle.
Slab Meat Castle.
Very fitting.
Good luck topping that.
I know, these were good.
All right. Well, let's see what we have here. All right, I'll start us off. I am going to be, I feel like all these end up being some type of like, I don't know how to say this, like a mass of some sort. Lump Sanders. Like a lump.
Yeah, we definitely had lump before.
We've had a lump before. Yeah, I was Lump Levesque.
You run out of ideas back there.
Yeah. Lump
is back.
The monkeys on the typewriters are struggling right now to come up with these. Lump Sanders.
Like, hey, you can't use my last name, but you got to bring back Lump.
If only they would shell out for the rights to Lump by Presidents of the United States as your theme, then you might get over. True. Right.
We totally made that joke before too.
Sounds right. Yes.
Look, we're almost up to 20 episodes. Let's
cancel the show now.
Okay. We're almost up to 20 episodes. Look, we're running out of material. What are we going to say? Lup Sanders. I definitely think this would be like in the Godwins or like the Blue Brothers, some kind of hillbilly type thing. I don't know if I'm just have Colonel Sanders, Kentucky on my brain, but that's where my brain's going. I don't know.
Yep, lumps on the brain.
Big, okay. Big fat guy energy.
Okay, this one very similar to Mason Ryan. Tim, you're going to be Troy Ryan.
Oh, Troy Ryan. Wow.
Possibly kind of the Ryan family from Saving Private Ryan. Oh. So all your brothers are dead.
They all got canceled. Unfortunately.
That's your gimmick. World War II veteran. That only wants to please Tom Hanks. With his life choices.
Sir.
Wow.
How specific.
All right.
It's about WWE's like pop culture, you know, lens. Movie that came out in 1998. You know, just what you want in wrestling. A nice upbeat reference, like Saving Private Ryan.
Thumb on the pulse with Tom Hanks. Major star of tomorrow.
Okay, Jenny. You...
Oh, I'm not ready.
This one, and look, at least this is a unisex name, I guess. Right. Braden. Well, actually, it's weird because I'm assuming it's Braden, but it's spelled strange. It almost is spelled like Braden, B-R-A-D-E-N. I'm assuming they mean Braden, but
Braden. Braden. Oh my Hardy God! Day. I just realized Troy Ryan is totally a gay film star.
Oh my God, he is.
Again, coming full circle once again.
It's like, I know that sounds familiar.
Braden Hartpeck, maybe one as well.
Hartpeck.
Hartpeck.
Oh.
Hartpeck.
Hartpeck.
Hartpeck. Red Rooster.
I was going to say that's a rooster gimmick right there.
Okay.
There you go.
I got the tampon.
It's worked before. I mean,
look forward to, so.
Why mess up what's worked in the past?
Yeah.
Bring it back.
My hero, Red Rooster.
Which we've had that again, Rooster Studebaker. So there we go. We've come full circle here on PTB NXT, apparently.
On our road to
redemption. Right. We are we're on the road to redemption as we this will be the drinking game. I don't know how much they mentioned on these. They kind of toned it back a little bit on actually saying the they like save it all for one flurry and then they fucking let loose like a machine gun with the road to redemption at like one video package. But let's get into it. We have three episodes to cover and this will be the final stretch until R Evolution, R-Evolution.
Lord.
Of course, our biggest, our main event storyline is Sammy's Road to Redemption, as we've been talking about, as he's going to most likely face Adrian Neville at R Evolution. But let's get into it. So it'll be November 20th, 2014, and we come hot out the gate with a women's match between Bayley and Becky Lynch, who have, of course, been feuding by proxy. Because Bayley is kind of affiliated with Charlotte now, and Becky is, of course, sort of formed the BFFs 2.0, I guess you would say, with Sasha. Becky is described as a madcap spitfire, a rock chick, which Renee scoffs at, the idea of calling her a rock chick, which his fellow commentators think is stupid. Of course, she has the rapid spitfire offense. Becky does. Bayley comes back with her own aggression, a little bit of some nice aggression from Bayley. She's not her usual nice self, but she ends up getting hung up on the ropes. Sasha comes out here a few minutes in, and they kind of frame it as Sasha distracting, but honestly, she really doesn't. They kind of use that as the reason why Becky's able to win with the roll-up, but to my eyes, it really didn't look like she did a whole lot. Like, the ref wasn't distracted. Bayley didn't really look at her too much or, you know, waste any time on her. So it's kind of a weird interference spot that didn't really work. It just kind of looked like Becky stole the win. But the match was kind of nothing. It was, I don't know, 2 minutes long. I ended up going a star on it, Tim.
I went even lower than that. I just went 3/4 of a star. Just didn't think it got out of the gate. Started with some good rapid fire offense, like you said, from Becky, and then she kind of took over for a good beat there, was getting some shine. Bailey, yeah, looks pretty decent. And you're thinking, well, this could develop into a decent little affair between these two, but no. Sasha with the, I mean, even as distracted roll-up pins go, this was very half-assed. I don't know if there was a botch there or if they just told him to get the hell out. But it was just like nothing happening here. Real disappointment from these two.
I would agree. What was your star rating? Oh,
3/4. 3/4 of a star.
Yeah, I'm going to do the 1 star. Yeah, the rocker chick thing was, like, really fucking cringy. Like, Renee trying to be super tough. Like, stay in your lane. Like, that's not your strong
suit. Yeah. And, you know, the finish was so bad. It's probably why I think I dinged it for the finish. Right. Otherwise, it, you know, I could have gone a star. It's not the worst thing in the world, but... Mm-hmm. It was just, I hate a distracted roll-up pin anyway, and this was even worse than the way that's normally done. So I was like, ugh, penalize it.
Yeah, I don't even, if she distracted the ref, I don't even know the camera caught it. You know, it was just not well-timed or whatever. I mean, they had a pair of decent, like, suplexes, so it's fine. And the post-match stuff was okay.
Yeah, post-match was okay.
Right, which we'll get. Yeah, just, I don't really get that. If you're going to do the distraction finish anyway, why did it just have, like, a decent match before?
Right.
Since nobody's going to have to lose anyway, like, clean. Why not let them, and as we're going to see, it's not like they're packing a bunch of important stuff on the show, so. As Jenny said, Charlotte comes out as Sasha and Becky kind of loom over Bayley, so kind of coming to her rescue. We did head backstage after this, after Charlotte saves her. Bayley thanks Charlotte for saving her, and Charlotte tells Becky to stay away from the bully Sasha. And then Bayley kind of does the Bayley innocent hug thing. And I felt like this is a bit of a regression for Bayley, because we had kind of liked where she was going, and now she's acting like she's like 9 years old again with bullies. And like Charlotte being her like 16-year-old big sister protecting her is... I don't know if this is positive momentum for Bayley. I don't know about y'all.
I don't think it's great character development for Bayley. I do sort of like it for Charlotte, just to give her a little bit more dimensionality, I guess. Like, I can buy Charlotte as this very self-involved and accomplished competitor, but... She's also sort of the overbearing friend that this, you know, less experienced woman looks up to. And you can understand why she would. I mean, look at fucking Charlotte. Hello. And Charlotte doesn't totally hate her. You know, she is concerned for Bailey's well-being here. It's just the way she goes about it is going to be a little bit bitchy, because that's just who she is. So I don't know. I thought it felt true to her character, but yeah, Bailey, to your point, Jake, should maybe be a little bit past all this silliness.
Yeah, it's super disappointing. I kind of... I mean, I enjoy it for Charlotte, but not for Bailey at all. And then she can't even have, like, a half-decent match. Like, you know, if you want to go that route, like, at least... have something decent in the ring.
Yeah, we know Bayley can go. We know Becky can go. It's, I mean, what else was happening on this show that you couldn't let them have a real showcase sort of match?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like they were moving in a direction where they're doing a good job of moving away from this, her being like a literal child, and more like, you know, she's kind of innocent, but she does act like an adult human, not like a child. And now they're kind of going back to this, which I'm not... Like, we said it before, they're going back to the BFF stuff a little too close for my liking, which we did not enjoy. And I felt like we were moving away from that. And now I feel like we're trending back to that, which is not good in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah. Let's hope this isn't a trend. Maybe it's more of an isolated setback.
Of hope. All right. We'll go way back as we head to the vaudevillains who give an interview here. They say that they are genteel men and they deserve their shot at the Lucha Dragons. They bring out the ring, I should add. This is not backstage like most, which is something we're going to see on these. That's a bit of a change for NXT, that we're getting a lot more in-ring promos and segments and things. They usually do a lot of this backstage, but the vaudevillains actually head out to the ring. They bring out the Lucha Dragons, but behold, it is not the real Lucha Dragons. It is the mini version, we'll say. So these are little people that they have dressed up like the Lucha Dragons. They get a ref. They beat up the little guys. And I thought the ending, this is a small thing, but, well, no pun intended. But the ref points straight at Aiden's penis at the end, like directly at his penis when he wins. But, yeah, it's just them, you know, them trying to mock the Lucha Dragons. I guess trying to push them more heel. But, you know, just kind of dumb. I don't know.
I was like, wait, what? Check right. The year again, 2014. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Like, get a grip. And then the commentary was like so fucking cringeworthy. Like, I feel like there's a flavor for that kind of match. NXT ain't it, yo. And right. I just thought it was awful. And I love the vaudevillains. So they don't need this. They're mm-hmm. doing a good job. I mean, they're not like heel, but like Lucha Dragons are so over. They don't really need like that much heat. It's like, what are you doing? It was so awkward.
Yeah, this is one of those things that it's just so corny that I feel like wrestling and WWE in particular, like, always falls back on with this. Oh, get a little person out there, have them get their ass kicked. That'll be funny. Like, for some reason, like, they just it's still apparently open season. All you can make fun of somebody because of their stature, but it's like, oh, everything else is like all the. You know, be a star. Oh,
yeah.
Our public relations is so important. You know, we have to project a positive image and diversity, inclusion. And it's like, they do this shit, you know?
it doesn't fit the vaudevillains gimmick at all.
No.
It's out of nowhere. It's so random. It's just carny wrestling bullshit. It's like, I get the purpose that it serves of just putting heat on the vaudevillains. It's very heat-seeking sort of segment to do, but it's just, it doesn't fit their characters, it doesn't fit this feud, it's just tacked on here because, oh, why not? That's what you do in wrestling, and no one is well-served by this whatsoever, so this,
There's a million different ways they could have done something.
Yep. So this got nothing from me.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Whatever. Is my rating.
Well, you got to come back to the what if.
Exactly. We're getting there.
Yeah.
But before that, we get something much better, which is we get a mysterious promo video package by a bearded man with a date 12/11/14. So a possible debut that we may learn more about as we go through this set of shows. But we'll move on into our next match, which is the whatever king himself, Baron Corbin, mm-hmm. who is going to be facing Elias Samson. Renee tells us that no one can get a word from Corbin.
Local competitor because I forgot who it was.
Caught it. We'll see, but for some of these matches we're going to talk about, I really had to work on being a proper host and do the research because I was struggling. Like, I had to rewind because I was missing. Like, they'll say it one time, and that's Elias Samson. Like, did you say it? Because the match is over in 12 seconds. It's now they're trying to work this gimmick where the crowd is counting, like, up to 20 or something mm-hmm. to see how long it's going to take him to beat the jobbers. But of course he comes in, does the end of days. I gave this a whatever. My only other note was that Elias from what he would become looked very lean. So from here to when he becomes, you know, much more notable, he is much more inflated, I'll say. But yeah, otherwise this was a Baron Corbin whatever non-competitive enhancement match. Jenny.
Yes, quite another whatever match.
I was somewhat generous than you guys. I just treated it as my standard squash rating of a half star.
I'm done writing squashes.
Yep, I get it. I totally get it. This apparently, you guys, was a rematch because as soon as I started typing Elias, it autofilled on my spreadsheet. So I'm trying to understand where we've seen this before. Oh, just a couple weeks back on the 10/16 NXT TV. And yeah, same outcome, same rating. That probably got a whatever from you guys as well.
That was so nerdy, Tim. You're like,
no, I had to point it out because I'm like, why does it autofill? Like, there's no way. I was just like incredulous over the fact that we've seen this match before and have no recollection whatsoever.
They couldn't give him. They couldn't even give him a different local competitor to face. Yeah, just the same guy. I like that Jenny's rating was pretty much an audible sigh. Just like,
her ratings have broken the, like, we're no longer quantitatively rating things. We're now whatever, audible sigh, dud, who cares?
Fart, right. You know, as you fart. Right.
But we'll have another similar match coming. Now, I do like this whole thing that they start to build here with Bull in Corbin kind of having a squash competition. I did sort of enjoy this.
I actually did too. I thought that was actually a little bit well done when they overlap his exit music with Bull Dempsey's intro.
Right.
That's like a little subtle thing that I did enjoy about this episode.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
I like the, like them kind of having a competition over who can destroy these jabrons quicker.
I like it. I like that.
Yes.
But I'm not giving Corbin any credit in that. Like, Bull Dempsey, I will give you one star, but I'm not giving Corbin stars.
But Bull will be facing Steve Cutler here. Now, the funny part about this, because they do the thing where Bull passes Corbin and they're going back, like, where did Steve Cutler come from? Because he didn't have an entrance, presumably. So I don't know if he's like under the ring. Got beamed in.
He was under the ring for the fucking Corbin match.
Beaming Cutler. Bull, of course, ends up winning, but not as fast as Corbin because he actually does a few moves in between. But he ends up, I do like that he literally squashes him because he finishes him with like this top rope splash thing. We get a Baron's better chance. I guess the crowd, unlike set of hosts here, is more into a Baron because they say Baron's better. I like that Alex Riley even calls it a squash. Like, he just even says the word squash.
I was like, wait, you know what this is. Can you say that on commentary?
Right.
Was that a fuck Alex up Riley. Or like, I don't know.
Shooting, brother.
Right?
Shooting, brother. For fairness, I gave this a whatever as well.
No, I did not do that.
Well, for fairness sake, I gave this a half star as well. I will say that I'm tempted to bump it up just for I'm going to go with the theory, actually, that Elias Sampson shapeshifted into Steve Cutler and never actually left the ring.
I love it. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, no teleportation, just shapeshifting.
I like it.
Just one jobber. Like the
jobber. Wow. Wow. That's a comic book right there.
Yeah.
There you go. Vince is like, man, if only I had this in the 80s, could have saved so much money. Jobberbot.
Jobberbot, yes.
All right. We'll see if our next match will be similarly non-competitive. It's going to be Tyson Kidd versus CJ Parker. So I don't like CJ's odds on paper. Finally, for once, though, they actually give the commentary gives CJ a little bit of credit about his environmental points. Like Rich Brenner's, you're like, you know, actually, he's not wrong there. And then, of course, they go back
acknowledge and, being an environmental activist isn't the worst thing in the world.
Right. But then they immediately like shit on him again. Like Renee says, he uses a natural deodorant, which is disgusting.
Right.
They're all over the place. They are just awful. Like, it's epically awful.
The commentary has been tragically atrocious.
Yeah, I mean, he has a point, but he's just so condescending. Mm-hmm. What a douche. And then he wears natural deodorant. God.
Well, and then going back to like the vaudevillains shit show earlier, at first Renee was like all into it because like, oh, well, you know, you come to the ring, you got to expect you're going to have a match. And then it was like she remembered she was supposed to be a face commentator and was like, oh, well, just fucking went too far. And it was right in line with the other yahoos out there. And it was just, you know.
Yeah, she did forget because she really likes vaudevillains. So.
Yeah, she's like into them, but then it's like, oh, now it's offensive.
Oh, never mind. They can't keep their kayfabe.
They can't keep their shit together. No.
Yeah, get the shit together.
CJ does not have his shit together as he gets a few kicks, but Tyson cuts him off pretty quickly. I thought Tyson said that I like that dragon screw that he did on the ropes. Like, that was all right.
But I'm a sucker for a just good kinda, dragon screw. Yeah.
Yes. But of course he ends it with the sharpshooter. He puts CJ in the sharpshooter and kind of ends it there. I thought this was all right. I thought Tyson's aggression was all right. I mean, I only went a star and a half on it, so it's not, you know, I'm not saying it's the greatest thing ever, but it got above a whatever for me. I thought it was an okay little two-minute destruction of CJ Parker. So 1.5 for me.
Wow.
So is this a Tyson Kidd's road to the bottom? That we've been witnessing this whole time, now that he's having matches with CJ Parker, or is CJ Parker getting a glow up, getting a push?
Doesn't look Tyson's like it's coming off the heels of this match.
No, it does not. I like the Total Divas chant by the crowd. I like all the insulting chants that the crowd has.
Yeah, they do have some good ones.
The submissions, whatever. It's all just gross. I said whatever or one star, I guess.
Whatever or one star.
Or wow. One star.
Yeah, just, this one, I will say solidly broke one star for me, but I, you know, couldn't go as high as Jake. I just gave it a star and a quarter. So,
making it rain.
Yeah, you really are, dude. I did pop for that spinning fisherman buster. I thought that looked pretty cool. And Tyson does have a decent sharpshooter, like on the sharpshooter scale, like he's pretty good at it. But it is still Tyson Kidd, and it is still a CJ Parker match, so you can't go but so high here.
Total Divas.
I would agree. I think he is on the way down. I feel like he's transitioning into like gatekeeper sort of mode, where he's gonna beat the CJ Parkers of the world, but if it's anybody of note, he's kind of doing the job to the stars duty, I think, at this point.
You make it sound like he's going to explain Star Wars to women.
Man, so he seems like he probably would. It would be a character.
So Renee is just
fact.
Fact.
Just man explains and says fact.
Fact. Ray is very suit. Fact. And Renee is like, I'm just trying to get an interview about your title aspiration.
Gatekeeper to the fandom. Anyway. After the match, he says that Uncle Brett told him to seek out who you want, and he is challenging Finn Balor. So he's got his sights set on Finn.
For whatever reason. One way to get the entire NXT universe to stop screaming at you about your relative is to fucking mention another relative and it's not even your fucking relative. So, like, stop. Just fucking stop and shut the fuck up.
I love how Tyson has basically stolen custody of Brett from Natty.
Yes.
Which we're going to see. We're actually going to see some more of that. Like, it's not good, but it is sort of funny. And I'll take what I can get here.
And it's also funny because it's even building off of Natty, like talking more about Brett than her own dad, which is funny in itself. Like, so they're just like, any way they can get to Brett, it's that's just, you know, any connection. Just
yeah, well, Brett. It's not like
skip over Anvil.
It's not like Anvil walked Natty out to the ring for her, you know, NXT women's title match with Charlotte. It's like, can you imagine you had Ric Flair and fucking Jim the Anvil Neidhart? Oh, God.
Right. The Jersey Triad is backstage. Yes. Enzo is taking credit for Mella's hot start, and he kind of backs off of that as they as both Carmella and Big Cass kind of call bullshit on that one. So just their typical kind of banter, and they are entertaining to me. I do enjoy them.
Yes, Mella looking good. I like this promo.
Can I just say ripped. That mm-hmm. other than the main event scene, I mean, Sammy's Road to Redemption, which is, you know, as cloying as that is, it is like we are looking forward to the match, right? You know, like we can say much. Other than that, I think that this Enzo Cass Jersey Triad are the only characters I'm really invested in right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Charlotte.
Well, yeah.
But always. She's not been well served lately.
Right. So. You remember the name of that salon that they got?
Hair. Got her fired from hair.
But Enzo and Cass are going to be facing no longer the Mechanics. So that was like very short lived. Mm-hmm. Like that one episode they called the Mechanics. Now they're just Wilder and Dawson. No
smarter.
No, like,
yes.
No real name. Enzo and Cass are super over. So apparently the Full Sail crowd is as into them as we are. They go on this, they do their normal spiel, but then they go into this whole deal where they talk about how they're not the Parker brothers, no games. They mention a lot of board games. Like, he says that, and then Renee has a weird line here where she says that Dawson likes his opponents scattered, smothered, and covered, which means nothing.
God, she's the worst.
Like, what? I guess he's Southern, so, you know, he eats a Waffle House, and the rest of the commentator team is baffled. They just don't even know what to say to our comments.
They're like, how many fucking edibles did you have before going on here?
But the match itself, they just kind of, which seems to be the template for these Enzo and Cass matches, where the artist formerly known as the Mechanics just kind of beat up Enzo for a while until Cass comes in and just like rocks them and hits them with the big boot and wins the match. So pretty much a squash, unless you count, you know, as soon as Cass comes in, it's a squash because Enzo is just like a little shit that they beat up on until his buddy comes in. So I ended up going to star on it, Tim. It was above whatever for me, I guess.
It was above whatever. I will back you up on that. I went a star as well. And it's just matches like this are hard to rate because there's no real body to the match, as you pointed out. It's just the face and peril deal on Enzo. And Cass comes in, and you're thinking, well, here's where business is going to pick up. And it's like, nope, it's just going to abruptly end. And you're like, well, we'll get the fuck out of here.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, and plus, you know, with Dash and Dawson, like, knowing that there are better things ahead for them, it's a little tough to see them go down in defeat like this. But in the interest of trying to be an unbiased star rater, one star.
You try to do that a lot, Tim.
I try to do that a lot. I won't say I succeed.
I just said I'm not doing that this time.
I understand.
But I did give it one star as well, just for our beloved Jersey Triad. Because, you know, they have some charm. They have my attention, at least, for a little bit.
Their personalities.
Right. The Mechanics, the Mike and the ex-mechanics or whatever.
Mike and the ex-mechanics.
they're all right, but like you said, like, this ain't their match, this ain't their time, so they're fine for what they are. And then the bros, McCracken.
Oh, no. I didn't have too much faith in like, your chances of winning the match are not good when you had a team name and then they just switch you to, like, both of your names. Like,
ooh, yeah, got a point there.
You're not on the Ascension, which they come out. They get jumped by the Ascension Enzo and Cass do. Then they go off to Dawson and Wilder trying to assert their dominance over the tag division once again. They grab the mic and say that Itami and Balor will soon be dead, that they're going to murder them, pretty much. And they say the ascension will rise again, which hopefully they do not. Let's hope that's not true.
Yeah.
No.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Crowd
yeah.
was into it. I mean, I think the crowd was dying for anything, though, to want to here at the end.
Easy stuff to kind of latch on to.
Yeah, we have not gotten into the plural with the stars on the show yet, so
we have
topped out at 1.5. All right, we head to Sammy. He's thanking William Regal for a chance to speak with him, which is pretty much all that happens here. Not much.
Yep.
He's gonna. And then we see a promo for Larry the Cable Guy, who's going to be on Raw.
Oh,
so, I remember.
Well,
that
he's got his big movie. He's got his big movie to promote.
Oh, we'll see if we see anything about that movie on
the
show.
We sure will have to. Yeah, stay tuned.
Jenny, do you remember the Larry the Cable Guy Raw from 2014?
Of course, it's a classic.
Yeah, same.
Do you remember Raw from 3 nights ago?
When they popped up, I was like, what? I had to check the year again. I'm like, what? Why? Mm-hmm. Why? He wasn't big in that year, was he? I was like way late, right?
I was going to say, the blue collar comedy stuff was like, what, 2005? Like,
right. That was when I was in like high school or something.
It might as well be Saving Private Ryan for as fucking timely as it was. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
finger on the pulse. I can't wait till we'll save what the movie is for a minute. But it killed me what the movie is. All right. All right, we head to our main event interview segment here, which, again, this is different. We usually pretty tried and true have a main event match, but we're going to have a segment. Sammy says that he always knew he would be champion, but last week would prove otherwise. We get a pretty drawn-out video package of the road to redemption. it's giving Jenny a chance to sigh there real quick. The crowd is still with him. Sammy says nothing is worse than losing in a big match like that, and he asks Neville to come out. Neville comes out after a brief delay, hobbling, selling the knee, of course, that we don't totally believe. Neville tells Sammy to pick his chin up. Sammy isn't hearing it, and he says if he can't beat Neville, he does not want to be here in NXT, which, of course, brings William Regal out. Regal decides that he can't think of a better main event for TakeOver than these two, where they will settle it once and for all. And Neville will not let him let Sammy put his career on the line. And Sammy says, don't worry, he's leaving if he can't win, whether Neville wants him to or not, and drops the mic. And that is how we close the show. Thoughts on this very emotional ending sequence, Tim?
I will say that I liked Neville selling the knee, even though we know there's nothing wrong with it. We saw that last week. He's still just, that's just being the canny athlete that he is, doesn't want to give it away that, you know, he's perfectly fine out there. Big announcement though, for this main event interview segment, just Sammy laying it all out saying, I can't beat you. I'm done. I'm never fond of guys basically talking their way into getting a title shot. Or like a second chance sort of thing. And I feel like WWE does that a lot. Because they love to swerve people, right? Somebody loses the number one contender's match or loses their guaranteed title shot, like at a Royal Rumble kind of thing or something. So you have to find some way to get them back into the title picture. And more often than not, in some fashion like this, which does not involve an actual match. It's just, you know, like an interview segment or putting themselves over so strongly that you can't possibly say no. But I don't know. I've never been crazy about that approach. But all that said, I thought that him laying his career out there like this, I mean, yeah, I could see Neville taking that bait. Again, he sort of wants to be done with Sammy. I think as Neville, the character, you could see why he would be threatened by Sammy. And if this is an opportunity for him to say, you know what, if I can beat him one more time, then I never have to worry about him as a future threat anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and agree to this. And, you know, that's a big match. It makes all the sense in the world for Regal to say, we need a main event for Evolution. So let me go ahead and sign it. You know, we're 2 weeks out. I don't know. In kayfabe sense, it does have some logic to it, but at the end of the day, it's an interview that's main eventing your TV shows. Not the best look, but it's effective for what it is.
And in line with the whole rest of the fucking shit show that we already watched. So it's sort of fitting that it ends this way.
Yeah.
I love Neville. Mm-hmm.
We all love Neville.
I don't think he's truly threatened by Sammy at all, really. Like,
well, just he takes him very seriously.
Yeah, he takes him seriously, but like, he has all the confidence. He knows his knee is not fucked up, and he can probably take Sammy. It won't be easy, but like, it's a challenge that he's up for. And then, like you said, I'm going to take this chance to perhaps save my friendship with the guy and beat his ass soundly and then get him the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, just like kind of fair and square and not like, you know, kind of, it's pretty badass of Neville. Like,
yeah.
And just a touch heelish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
But not like crazy weird. This was, probably the highlight of the show, honestly. Like, sorry it's not a match, but the matches that they did put on for me did not work.
Let's
take a break from that.
Yeah, I thought it was effective in that they don't do this a whole lot, or at least they haven't yet. And I think the feud kind of has enough juice to it, and like Sam, both guys are over enough. I think Neville's played like the tweener role really, really well, where he hasn't really gone full, like he hasn't gone full heel, and he's done a really good job of kind of toeing the line, which I like. And I kind of like the twist of like Sammy, like normally it's the heel that can like throw a fit that they got screwed, and so because Sammy's like a good face, he can't, like, he knows he got screwed, but he doesn't want to complain. So he's in this weird position where he feels the need to, like, put something, like, put his career up for grabs because, like, he needs to sacrifice something. So I didn't mind that. Like, I think the main thing, it works because both guys are over and the crowd actually cares about their feud. Like, yeah. Even if maybe it's not the most, you know, it's a pretty common trope, it works because they're over. But, yeah, easily the highlight of the show. Low bar, but at least gives us our main event, which, I mean, we're not shocked. I mean, we could see this coming a mile away, but at least we know now. Yeah. That wraps up the episode. Overall thoughts. As we said, we did not get even hit the 2-star range on this. So the matches, if we're going off the matches, this show was the shits. But at least it set up our main event at TakeOver. I thought that segment was okay. But yeah, really not a whole lot. Not good, and not good commentary. Not a whole lot redeeming besides set the main event, which was worthy of a 3 for me, which I may end up being the high person on this one. I don't know. Mm. Jenny, what'd you think?
Let's see. There's 3 whatever matches.
Crunch
and
the numbers.
The rest are
do
one
it.
Star.
Do it.
It's a 1. I'm not pulling the trigger on 0 yet, but it's a
1.
It's real
let's
clean.
See. Yeah. I hate when they do this. Didn't we even say, last episode, we got a shitty, like our the first show we covered was pretty bad. And then they picked it up in the next two, like steadily started that climb. And we're like, this is so typical of NXT TV in 2014. It's just so inconsistent. It's up and it's down. It's all over the place. Like we thought we were maybe getting into a hot streak, and then we sort of joked, oh, watch the next episode be dog shit. And we got this episode, which is probably the worst we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And so I hate that they do this over and over. Like, you would think they would figure out some kind of consistency by now, or at least try for it. And no, once again, we get, oh, throw 5 bullshit matches out here for a 50-minute show, end with an interview, nothing cracks, like, 1 star. And there are several duds along the way. Mm-hmm. Like, This is bad. It just, again, it's something that it's television that exists because it has to exist, not because there's a reason for it, not because someone put actual effort into this. At least I sure hope they didn't. And it's just very demoralizing to try and watch. And it doesn't even really move that fast. You would think with that many matches, like most of them being squashes, pretty much all of them being squashes on a, you know, less than hour long installment of a weekly show, that this would just get out of here pretty quick, if nothing else. And it's still kind of dragged for me. So I'm like, if this isn't a zero, I don't know what is. If not for maybe that main event interview, which had some actual
triad,
and the Jersey Triad, like there are some actual stakes that we see here. But I can't go higher than one, so I'm with Jenny here. Maybe if we weren't doing a big build to a takeover and it gotten a show like this, I'd go zero. But I'm seriously questioning if we will ever see anything worse.
Yeah.
I just thought about the Vaudevillains thing, and I think I'm bumping it down to a two. I just remembered that Vaudevillains thing.
That's worse. Yeah.
It made me angry, so I'm going to bump it down to a two, which is, you know, angry. Twice is the sum of y'all's rating. So. Anyway, all right, we'll see if we can pick it back up. Let's see if we can get past the first episode being a stinker. All right, we'll go to the
Do the writers just like get bored or like?
I don't think they have writers.
I don't think they do. For like this show. Who's William Regal's not? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
This is Triple H shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say here because this, I don't know if Triple H was like doing this into it by this point. Like, I don't know who's doing like the booking, the like nitty gritty of the storylines and stuff at this point. Maybe it's like the Full Sail students. It's like
someone
who's a student project. I'm telling you.
Student led bullshit.
So like 19-year-old, like, hey, it wouldn't be funny if we, some little people get beat up by these silent film actors.
Silent
film actors. It's like a 3-week class, and then you get a whole other group, and then you get a whole other bunch of shit.
Well, that is something that, and I've said this before, I think that the taping cycles do have a lot to do with this inconsistency that we get, where it's just, we'll start off rather slow and then build to sort of a peak, and I think that's just because they filmed 3 or 4 episodes in a row. We got what basically the live crowd was getting, and then after that peak, we're right back to a valley, because that's just the beginning of a new cycle. I don't pay enough attention to the crowds to really notice whether it's like, you know, the same people each episode or what, but that's gotta have something to do with it, honestly. And as far as like the booking, I think probably they look at it from the standpoint of, we need to have these matches for TakeOver. And I don't even know if they have that mindset yet, but let's go with it, right? We need to have these matches and these outcomes for TakeOver. How we get there, up to you guys. Who gives a shit? You know, you guys being the producers, the agents, whoever. Mm-hmm. And it is often a shit show.
That's wild.
Just my guess. I can't imagine they're devoting much actual. Like, there's no way they're pulling the writing staff into this. It's just, there's no writing that takes place. Nothing that I watch and go, oh, somebody wrote that. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess I just assumed it. You know, because to me, in my mind, like, then what are we doing? Like, you know? Like,
I think it's formatted, but not really written, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And it probably doesn't make sense, but I feel like that's what they do.
So Marcus Louis just had to think of his own abilities to have fucking cum cream all over him, and then he has to like lose all his hair and turn into fucking Quasimodo. He's like, this will get me over.
I mean, I think that, again, was like those segments were just put together, but I don't think there was much like in the way of, oh, then you have to say this or say that, and here's your promo kind of thing. Like, I think it's just here's how you react. This is what's going to happen. And beyond that, I mean, especially with him, it's just been like week to week, right? It's just and getting worse week to week, as we're about to see.
Right. And the last thing I'll say is it's we also have to think that their A team of writers at this stage was not coming up with, like, you know, the most killer material either.
Right. Yeah.
Well, so I can only imagine what the whoever's in charge of NXT at this point is, you know, I can't imagine it's. But yeah, it is certainly a. Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking. I think they're trying to keep it simple, which sometimes gets you like good, straightforward storytelling. But then it also simple for wrestling is falling back on dumb, stupid tropes like we saw with the vaudeville and stuff. So it's kind of like the double-edged sword of that. It's good when it's good, but it could also get real dumb because wrestling could be real dumb. And sometimes it's fun dumb, and sometimes it's just
bad. Yeah.
So.
Well, sometimes there's. You know, I think what it is sometimes there's too much of it. When you have to just constantly churn this out every week, and it's really the same people. It's not like anybody's really leaving the territory right now. That will become more of a thing as we move along in NXT. But I don't know. I think they get in a rut sometimes with. Same old, same, like, what is Marcus Louis still doing here? What is Sylvester LaFour, you know, Tyson, we talk about how Tyson was written out several weeks ago and is still on it somehow. It's just, you know, you got to cycle some of these through here. And we're not even getting the call downs, so to speak, like we were, where someone would just pop in from the main roster to have an exhibition match with Neville or whatever, you know. I guess Titus was the best example we've seen of that in a while, which left a lot to be desired. So,
right. Well, I guess now that we've pondered the existence of this promotion, we'll go into the second episode as to why it exists.
That's fine, we can move on.
We'll go to the November 27, 2014. It is certainly going to not get any less weird here as we're going to have Tyler Breeze take on Marcus Louis. Marcus Louis is still mentally broken here. He wanders out slowly with a towel on his head. He's like his reaction to losing his hair is like, like luchadors have lost their mask, like, which is like their entire identity and like their family heritage, and not reacted this extreme. The way Marcus Louis is reacting to his hair being lost.
Tyler Breeze bounced back much faster than Marcus Louis when he lost his mask in 1998. Yes, he was fine like a week later.
Right. Tyler Breeze is disgusted by everything about Marcus Louis.
Oh, God.
He grabs the mic, asks him if he's actually supposed to wrestle the most uggo of all uggos. He compares him to Gollum from Lord of the Rings. He pulls the towel off of his head, tells him to leave, berates him, and calls him a freak that no one will ever love, and then hits him with a beauty shot and pins him. Almost like uncomfortable, this whole thing. Like, it was brutal. I rated this match as abusive. That's my rating. That's my star rating, because this is like. Like, it really got, I mean, I guess testament to them for both playing their roles. I guess that's what they were going for. But it was like, when he told him he's a freak that no one would ever love, I was like, good Lord, this is dark shit.
He's like, no, look, you got to see this, and yanks the towel off of him. It's treating him like the elephant man out there. Oh, crap. Now we got canceled.
What does it say about us that we're so offended by the little people jokes, but then we laugh our ass off over this fucking shit?
Well, it's because he's not really, he's...
Right.
He's fine. Like, he lost his hair. We're talking months ago. When was that takeover? Right. It was like September. Yeah. It was early September, right? And we're now, like, they talk about how, oh, it's Thanksgiving, and somehow none of his hair is growing back. I mean, is this absurd? This is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and, like, the tonal, like, okay, we've seen Tyler Breeze be like, oh, like, he's, like, a smug model guy. And then, like, out of nowhere, he's just, like, berating this guy, like, tell him he's a freak, no one loves him. Like, he just went to, like, another level out of nowhere in this, like throwaway match with this, like, no, like, a essentially a jobber guy. It's just so out of nowhere. Like,
yeah.
Tim said unnecessarily.
Unnecessarily offensive. Yes.
Offensive, yes.
Well, it's like, it's also like punching down in a lot of ways. Like, not only is Tyler Breeze, you know, much better looking than Marcus Louis, in reality and in character presentation terms, but he's also like positioned so much higher on the card that it just, again, it's abusive, as Jake put it, that he could actually go out there and do this. And I'm sorry, this sort of illustrates my earlier point. No one could have possibly written this. This had to be, look, this is a segment. This is what you have to accomplish. Go out there, bury the guy, say what you want to say, get yourself over, get the win. Like, there's no way someone wrote these words on a page and said, here's your promos. Because that is just not how they script promos in this company. I found it very entertaining. 5 stars. No, I actually did give this a dud.
I love you.
I gave it a dud, but I really actually sort of enjoyed it.
Do you have a rating for the spreadsheet for this one?
Do you have a rating? Yes. No, that's
impossible,
fine if you don't.
Question. It's an impossible question. I don't know. I don't know how to.
NA is a perfectly acceptable
rating. We need to have a meeting and discuss the parameters of these ratings. Like, there's
I don't
no
think we
system
do.
Anymore. Like,
I think we're doing well.
This is like Chad always talks about how, like, Hogan Andre, it's like, oh, it breaks the star rating scale. This is like a completely different version of breaking the star rating scale.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm broken, but dud. Okay. Dud.
Jenny yelped in agony like Marcus Lee when she watched this. And then, which, that's what happens after. So after this abuse by Tyler Breeze, he just yells in agony in the ring, stands there, and the crowd just chants, "This is awkward.
This is awkward."
Yes, great change.
I love that shit though.
And then we just go to commercial, which is Larry the Cable Guy is back, and we get a promo for his movie, which is going to have Santino Marella, and also, so they reveal at the end, because I was like, okay, what movie is this? And it's Jingle All the Way too.
It sure is.
And then also, I mean, maybe y'all caught him, but in the 5 times we saw this commercial throughout these shows, I don't think I saw Santino in the commercial at all, which I was like, you'd think maybe because he's the wrestling connection, you'd maybe see at least one snippet of him, but I did not see him in the trailer at all.
So probably just in a crowd scene or something.
I thought Larry the Cable Guy was the, since he was on Raw and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's quite a drop though from Arnold to.
We'll see.
Anyway. All right, we cut back
to
Marcus Lee.
We're gonna watch this as a holiday movie. So.
I was gonna say, let's add it to our movies list. Look,
Patreon.
See No Evil 2. It is not, but it clearly looks like a winner.
Oh, for sure. But anyway, we see Marcus Lee still wandering backstage, out of the arena in a trance, in a fugue state.
Lord. Just a like almost naked bald man.
With no presumably eyebrows. Wandering into traffic.
Traumatized by Tyler Breeze.
Yes. And then we just head to the next segment. Enzo and Cass and Carmella head out to let us know that we're going to get the most anticipated rematch in NXT history, as Carmella is going to be facing Blue Pants. So this is the biggest rematch since Elias Sampson and Baron Corbin here. Carmella versus Blue Pants. We get some drop kicks from Carmella, and she does her head scissors submission and taps out Blue Pants. I gave this one 4 Staten Islands.
Oh, yes.
What do you think, Tim?
I'm going to go 4 Long Island iced teas, actually, which I think we could all use after watching these episodes. So apparently I went 0.5 star on this, so I guess I considered it a perfectly acceptable squash, suppose. Although Carmella's drop kicks look pretty lame. I've been pretty forgiving of her, you know, in these early outings, but I didn't think those drop kicks were too stellar. But she does her finish really well, and that's pretty much all that counts. Blue Pants is like, I don't know, this could be a funny joke, but they do that thing where they push it way too hard, to the point of it like rounding the corner of becoming unfunny. Where if they just let this breathe a little and be its own thing, I think it would work better. But they're just it insists upon itself. I'll put it that way. And so nothing is more unfunny than something that insists upon itself.
Oh fuck! That's my whole gimmick.
Insisting upon yourself.
Yeah. Blue Pants insisted that she did not want to tap to that submission.
That is true.
Because she sort of, I feel like she milked it for a minute. Like, mm-hmm. She knew this Blue Pants thing wasn't going to work out for her, probably. Mm-hmm. And, but so she tries to, like, I think
Saber
she,
heat.
Yeah. I think she was, like, trying to, like, fuck with Mel a little bit. And, but yeah, I like Mel. And so I gave it 1 star. It's fine. I liked how Cass and Enzo introduced Mila and her opponent.
Fucking Blue Pants going to business for herself as usual. Piece of shit.
Everybody thinks they're a star.
Because she was so excited to be there. You could tell like she was pretty much eating it up because the crowd was into her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we head backstage where Finn Balor is giving an interview, which I don't know where the hell he was before this, but he was beat the fuck up.
Like, he was full of marks. Shit, and,
yeah.
He was like, taping up his whole body. He was like tearing off.
Yeah. Looks like he just fought a tiger. He had like scratches and like red marks all over him. I don't know what he was doing, but he is not afraid of Tyson. So
he looks like me after a significant weight loss or gain.
Yeah, he was, I don't know who he fought, but he was beat to shit. But he's ready to fight Tyson Kidd, and that was the gist of his promo. And then we will go to...
He was fighting Louis Maynard.
Oh, God.
Oh. I thought that's maybe what was... I was waiting
was
for
the tiger.
Something
was
along...
The tiger.
I was waiting for something along those lines.
Can't disappoint you.
Thank you. Okay, we head to our tag match, which we're going to see our champions, the Lucha Dragons, face kind of a consistent, if not successful, team. Jason Jordan, Jenny's arch-rival, and Ty Dillinger. We get a quick pace to start as the Dragons work the arm. Renee says that Jason Jordan, I think this is, I couldn't tell who she was talking about. I thought she said Jason Jordan should be on the cover of Tiger Beat as he begins to take control. So add it to the weird Renee comments.
Yep.
We get a little healing off by Jason Jordan and Ty Dillinger, kind of mocking the Lucha chant from the Dragons, but they miscommunicate, which allows Kalisto to tag in, who goes ham as usual with his acrobatic offense and does the Selena Del Sol, and that will end it. Star and a half for me. Good little enhancement match for the Dragons. Jason Jordan, Ty Dillinger got a little bit in just to not let us forget who they are. But, you know, not Kalisto still was the highlight of this, as he usually is in these matches. But, yep, star and a half for me, Jenny.
Tiger Beat. Who are you, my mom? Fucking quit insisting upon yourself. Shut the fuck up. Meanwhile, Lucha's still great. And I've renamed this team as Joe Deal.
Joe Deal.
They're doing the thing with their tights where they have two colors and one's wearing one on top and the other is wearing that color on bottom. And the, please don't do that. Like, I don't like it.
Not a fan.
Not a fan of that. But I mean, their bodies are sick. I will say that. So, they were pretty sloppy overall, and the Dragon just handled them like they should. So, I gave it a star and a half as well.
I was a little bit higher. I went a star and three quarters. So,
all right.
Yeah, we're things are looking up now. Lucha Dragons are always fun, if nothing else. They will be a highlight in a sea of shit quite often. And this is nothing we haven't seen before. In fact, I feel like we've seen this finishing sequence a couple of times from them, but I don't hate it. It's nice to see them have just a decent, quote-unquote, real match, TM. Before a big takeover. So, yeah, I mean, it's nothing out of this world, but just a welcome break from the format of just the nonsense we've been pummeled with on these two shows.
Did y'all think it was weird that they didn't even address at all the vaudevillains kind of, like, if, I know we said it was stupid and it's probably better off putting less attention on it, but if you are going to do this whole, they're disrespecting the Lucha Dragons, like the Lucha Dragons just said nothing and just acted as if nothing had ever happened. So it was kind of strange.
Yeah. I was wondering about that. Like, they should have some sort of response to that. Especially going into the pay-per-view when they're about to fight them for the fucking belt.
Thought it was weird that they just who cares? No big. Even if they just give a real basic, like, you know, they want to play jokes or whatever. Like, even if it's just some straight-up babyface comment, just something. It's just weird. Like, they just went out there and, like, mocked them and stuff. And they're just like, oh, whatever. Right. No big deal.
Yeah, it just goes totally unanswered. Yeah.
It's odd to me.
Anyway. They're not the best talkers, so. But
And that, like, I'm not expecting like the greatest promo ever, but just them to just give a pretty straight up, like, you know, we'll be laughing at the pit. I don't know, whatever shit they could say. Like, they don't have. To,
What about you, Wade?
I don't know.
Look, I'm not an NXT writer. They're not even studying these little.
Yeah, I mean, it may be like. Right, that they're just trying to take the high road.
Above it all.
I guess, I don't know.
But
do we need
still
the
show me that, too.
Uh-huh. You know? Do we need the commentators to, like, tell us that, or... Because we know they would just beat us over the head with it.
Right.
Well, you know, the vaudevillains can do a lot of dastardly things out there, but you know, these Lucha Dragons, they're a class act all the way. They're not gonna let it get the better. They're not gonna let them get it in their head. They would just go on and on and on and on. So I'm sort of
look at this, us. This is one better.
I know. This is one case where I'm like maybe okay with the ambiguity.
Yeah,
it's, leave it to your imagination.
All right, we get another Kevin Owens promo video where now it's kind of revealed to us who it is. In the first one, we didn't really get to see, but he's presented as like a serious fighter and that he is going to change everything. I dug this. I thought it was awesome. It made me want to see him come in and like just start beating the shit out of people. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, Kevin Steen is all elite. this new character that is going to be debuting soon sure looks like a prize fighter. I can't wait to see him.
We'll see.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. You've never been a big Owens guy, have you?
Never. I never could get on board with him. But, you know, admittedly, when I started watching, he wasn't doing great things. So he's another one to watch on this show.
Well, he said he's going to change everything. We'll see. All right. Bayley is out to address the NXT universe. Albert says that hugging won't get her to the top. So Jason Albert with some career advice here. Her friend Charlotte said to stay home because she's not going to be there. Charlotte's not going to be there to protect her, but she's dealt with bullies her whole life. Her mom told her to stand up to, just reading this sounds ridiculous. Her mom yep. told her to stand up to bullies. So again, we're back to Bayley being a child, an actual child. Here comes Sasha and Becky, of course, to come and bully her. Sasha pushes her, but Bayley lays in a forearm, and they quickly jump her until the refs come out to protect her because Charlotte is not there. The highlight for me was Bayley laying in the forearm, but I'm still not digging her acting like a child. I'm just not feeling it.
When she was like, my mama said, I was like, oh, shut up! Right? Stop!
Yeah, this could be an effective heat segment, if not for... again, this continued character regression of Bayley. It just kind of sucks the life out of the room.
I like how Charlotte's like, look, I'm not going to be there. Like,
so stay home. Like, stay home.
Charlotte's like, sorry, like, I got to wash my hair or something. I can't be like,
I'm going to wash my hair.
I can't be washing all these little bitches. Like, what the hell?
Or like, I tried to tell her. Bayley is a grown adult, and this is her job, and Charlotte's yeah. like, stay home. It's like, no, she needs to go to...
Take a sick day.
Right. Just, and I know they want her to be like, her thing is like, young girls like her, but they're going to still like her, even if she doesn't act like she's actually a child. Like,
right, exactly.
Like, kids like things that are not kids.
What are it's kids okay. like? Kids, mm-hmm. we have to make everyone... Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
And all Charlotte right. in the, like, I like, I want her, like, heel. I don't like her trying to be, like, somebody's stepmama. So.
Right. Okay. Right.
Somebody's stepmama. I like how you said someone's stepmama as opposed to her actual mom.
Well, it's just like she's there every right. other weekend.
big sorry, stepmom energy from Charlotte.
You did not insist upon yourself.
Shirley and Joe Dill.
I'm laughing at myself.
Oh, man. Pop me.
All right.
Joe Dill.
All right. Speaking of divorce, ooh. Natty and Tyson are backstage.
Gotta get
and this say, Natty says that Tyson will do great against Finn, but he's a bit embarrassed and he wants to speak for himself. He doesn't like Natty talking him up. So, again, a lot of juvenile energy here as he feels like this is his mom saying that he's great. He's like, come on, mom, stop. You're embarrassing me. He blames the law. I like that he buried Justin Gabriel. He's like, you know, Justin Gabriel, he kind of sucks. Then he calls himself the next hitman and he doesn't buy the Balor hype fact. And then we get a very awkward into this where Natty tries to hug him, but he awkwardly rejects her hug. And then she looks at the camera and gives like a very weird face. And then we head out. Real weird segment here. Poor Jay Gabe just threw him under the bus. Well, you know, we only lost because Justin Gabriel sucks. Facts.
Natty also says she tries to like save it as Tyson is calling her out on speaking for him. I'm just putting you over, honey. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it works that way. Like, she's so oblivious in this segment. It's,
he's like, I'm right.
I don't know. This was like
right here.
Yeah, it was sort of maybe treading on that so bad it's good ground where this sort of became entertaining for me. Or I am completely losing my grip on reality is also
was
possible.
Was this where he said the thing about I'm gonna go hug the cats before a match or some shit?
Yes,
or yes. That FaceTime. That's why he didn't hug.
Yeah.
For FaceTime with the cats.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I knew. It was something like, about
that's a total divas.
I was gonna say. I was like, is this just all just like just promos for their fucking show?
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, somehow
made me want to tune in.
No, right. If that's what they're doing on that show can fuck off and die.
Yeah, the cats got very over on that show.
Well, cats are great, but they suck. Can the cats come and wrestle instead of Tyson?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now we get our first of some vaudevillains, which we'll get to later. The vaudevillians, some would say.
Vaudevillian.
But the vaudevillians have a silent film, and it's called Boom Go the Lucha Dragons. It's them answering a phone, and they find out the dragons are going to blow up a train, which means the titles are going to be in danger. So they head to the rescue, but they first train by fighting bears and running through the woods. Which is some real obvious, like, green screen effects kind of thing. They stop them. And of course, the Lucha Dragons in these short films are the two little people that we saw earlier dressed as the Lucha Dragons. So they stop them, take the titles. And just more, this show's getting real weird. Like, between the Marcus Louis and this, it's getting real strange.
This is why I'm saying somebody had to write and film that shit. They didn't film it themselves, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody put that shit together.
Maybe that's
who is
student,
it? I want to know.
That may be the student project right there.
The production quality was pretty solid.
It was. That's what I'm saying. Like,
stylized.
This is very much an intentional, like, this wasn't like, let's just throw some shit together. Like, maybe they still wanted to use the little people, but they got zero reaction from fighting them in the ring, as they should. And they're like, we'll make one of those WCW movies.
Oh my God.
With the little people in them.
It did feel like a WCW mini movie. Mm-hmm. Complete with, you know,
explosions and little people.
Yeah. Right. Cheatham and the bomb and the, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Besides going back to the little people thing from the last episode, I kind of like the whole them doing a silent film as like a mind game sort of thing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I just wish we could have just dropped the whole other deal.
Why not use the actual dragons in the video? Like, I get it's not as funny, but like, it makes sense, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I like them doing this as a, like, weirding them out, like, mind game. Like, look, we're weirdos who make silent films to get in your head or something. I don't know. It's just weird. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like it there. But they had to remind us of the dumb shit from the last episode, which was a bummer.
I felt it went on a little long.
It was kind of long.
It sort of dragged. I mean, it was well produced, but I don't know that it needs to be as long as it was.
Right. I agree on that one. All right, we get a rundown of the TakeOver card, which is only 2 weeks away at this point. So our main matches are going to be Sammy versus Neville, Sasha versus Charlotte, and of course the Vaudevillains versus the Lucha Dragons are our top title matches. So as much as have not been impressed with the shows, as usual with these, the card is looking, I think, pretty decent, like at least match-wise.
So, I would agree, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On paper. All right. Looks good.
All right, we'll head to our...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we're going to our main event, but...
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Finn and Tyson. So this will be Finn answering Tyson's challenge that Tyson and Natty were talking about. We get a lot of wrist locks and kind of feeling out the full-arm dragon twist, if you will. Tony Schiavone. Tyson gets heckled for bailing outside behind Natty, so the crowd's... giving him a Natty's wife chant. After the break, Tyson has the advantage. We're not sure really what happened to get him. Nice kicks from both of them. I thought they both had pretty nice kicks. Tyson kicks Finn off the apron. Tyson's real aggressive in this one, really laying his shit in on Finn. He gets a tree of woe head submission that I thought was pretty good. A lot of this is just Tyson beating the piss out of Finn for a lot of this match. He even mocks. Well, he didn't really mock him, but I thought maybe that's what he was trying to do. He did the corner drop kick, which is... we've already seen as one of Finn's signature moves. Finn turns the table with the Pele kick, and we get a pretty intense back and forth. Springboard elbow by Tyson hits, but he gets nothing but knee on it. Finn goes up to the top of the Ascension run in to ruin the ending of this match and give us a DQ because they still have heat with Finn and Itami. Itami comes out for the save. And, yeah, kind of a bummer of a finish, but I did think it was a good match despite that. I like the aggression from Tyson, who I think our main critique of Tyson sometimes he could be a little paint by numbers and a little tepid, but I liked his aggression here. And I like Finn's comeback in the end. So I did think it would have been okay if you let Finn get the win here, but I kind of get to trying to draw out this with Finn and Tyson thing a little longer. But I thought it was a good match. I went 3 stars and definitely the first what I would call good match we've seen on these shows, Tim. Am I too generous?
I was really desperate to like this match. I don't know that I really liked it as much as I wanted to. I enjoyed the way that it built. It started out very slow with some mat work that I thought was pretty well executed, and then just steadily settled into a nice little groove, and it was well paced. They had that little break in there, which I don't know why they put these commercials on the show that they fully control on their network, but in any case, they do the stupid commercial break, but in a way that like made sense for a TV match, I thought. So sort of high drama, and coming back from that, you had Tyson in control, actually looking pretty good, and you know, Finn making his comeback until fuck that finish. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. Just give us a real fucking finish to a decent match on one of these damn episodes already. Like it wouldn't be so egregious if it again had not been up and down the card, up and down these two shows, fuck finishes to shitty matches nonstop, basically. Mm-hmm. Just give us something. So the fact that they refused to do that, I couldn't go any higher than 2.5.
Yeah, I wasn't as impressed with watching Finn Balor get fucking his ass beat by Tyson Kidd. Like, mm-hmm. I have no interest in that. Fucking... might as well be Starrcade 84 in here with all these finishes.
wow.
That was a real wrestling joke, y'all.
I know.
What do we think about... What? Thanks.
What did you say?
He said I'm going to edit that out.
No wrestling talk on here.
I'm going to edit the wrestling jokes out.
That'll teach me. All right. What about Tyson using Natty as a shield before the like Dallas-like commercial break?
The Dallas-like commercial break.
It was like da da da. And then they went to
commercial. I was fine with it.
I was like, just stop bringing her to the fucking ring. Stop. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. Like, just... I can't. 2.5.
Man.
I hate the ending. It sucked.
Yeah, it did suck. Ascension. It had to be the Ascension through of all.
Please. Them.
I love that you're, like, on the verge of a coherent thought, and you just... I can't.
I just want to see better stuff from Finn later. Sorry, Hannah. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, I don't know. I guess I'm the positive one here. I thought it was okay. But, yeah, they finished it. It sucked quite a bit. The refs have to come out to break up the scrum here. As I think Finn and Itami get a little bit of an advantage at the end and kind of fight them off. But yeah. The refs go to the ring, and that's how we close the show. All right, so do we feel better about this one than the last one? I'll throw that out here.
Not really.
Not particularly.
A little, maybe marginally.
I mean, there's still whatever. No, that was for the Jingle All the Way 2 commercial. I put whatever.
You rated the
commercial? I rated it. Yeah, sorry. I mean, the weirdness of the Marcus Louis stuff. Blue Pants was all right. Joe Dill, not great. but still has some lucha in there.
I think Joe Dill is at Starrcade 84 too on the undercard.
Versus Wahoo McDaniel.
Oh my God.
So I'm gonna go the three for this one.
I'm kind of stumped because, like, our NXT champion was not even on the show 2 weeks out from the supercard, the pay-per-view, whatever you want to call TakeOver. There's no Sammy. I mean, I understand they did their business last week, but I don't know. Ever heard of a build? Was it really so important that we get a J Dill and Blue Pants and fucking Marcus Louis on this goddamn card instead of doing anything to promote a main event of what is, you know, their equivalent of a pay-per-view? So, you know what? Fuck this show. This gets a one. I was going to go two, but I talked myself way out of it.
Yeah, you did.
One. Negative one.
Oh.
No, this was as bad as the one before it, honestly. It had an actual main event, but it's not like that was a blowaway match for me. Mm-hmm. So I sort of put that on par with the main event interview, which certainly didn't give our first episode a boost in my rating.
That's fair.
Right, I'm going to give it a three. Glowing review here, because wow. I enjoyed the main event okay. And trying to think, we saw the dragons. They were good. Some of the weird stuff was at least entertaining and not boring, maybe in the wrong way, but we get to see Tyler Breeze abuse a man verbally and physically.
Hot. Jake likes
it. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll wrap up that one and we will move to the go home episode as we head into TakeOver. So been a rough stretch. Let's see if we can bring it home strong with the December 4th, 2014 episode of NXT. We start with Charlotte versus Mia Yim. Mm. So I did not expect to see Mia Yim on here. I'm not going to lie. I did not think she was around for several more years in NXT that I remember. So that was very surprising. But as you would expect, Charlotte's got the earrings on. They make a big deal about it on commentary that she's got these earrings on. But she has her six snap offense as usual, kind of, you know, neck breakers and such. Aside from a few kicks from Mia Yim, it's all Charlotte. She ends up with the natural selection in about 2 minutes. So in honor of her earrings, I gave this match 2 diamond earrings as my rating.
Oh, wow.
There you go. There you go.
Jenny, you
I gave you go this ahead. Match 2 pearl necklaces. Because Charlotte, and I don't like Mia Yim, so it was really fun to watch her beat up on her natural selection on that ass. 2 stars.
Jenny Shitless, Mia Yim, Jason Jordan.
I gave it 2 turtle doves and a partridge. I actually only went a star and a half on this one. I didn't think it did anything wrong. It just wasn't much of a match, so I kind of had a low ceiling on it.
Right. Probably more important than the match is that Sasha Banks comes out after and stands on the ramp and talks some trash to Charlotte. They started Sasha's ratchet chant that they normally do, but I liked her responding to it. Like she kind of fires back at the crowd and all and says she has more flair than her and her daddy combined, so bringing the family into it. I don't know. I thought it was a solid, like, little heel promo from Sasha. Probably one of the better ones we've seen from her because she actually felt like she had some fire, like she was trying to get on Charlotte's level. And I liked her responding to the crowd. It felt at least a little bit like organic and not like she just came out and recited a promo she had in her head.
So, yeah.
I was fine with it.
Poor Bailey when she tries to smack talk though.
Yes.
She just like fumbles out something and she sounds like a little child. And Sasha face palms her, like, get the fuck out of here.
Right. Not a wise decision for Bailey to hop out here and tell Sasha to shut up. So Sasha just kicks
shut
the crutch
up,
out.
Sasha, you're me. I'm
a kicks the crutch out. And then big sis comes, stepmom Charlotte comes to save her after the bully kicked her crutch out. It's like an episode of Doug or something. And Becky sneaks up after
Judy Foddy out there to take up for her child.
Right. Becky sneaks up and distracts, and Sasha is able to crack Charlotte and grab the title and kind of pose with it. So we end with Sasha kind of getting the last laugh. I should mention that too.
Yeah, that
was pretty good. Boy, Bailey sure has some kid getting their mom to talk to the principal energy here. Not a good look. I would agree. Is she legit injured? Is that what's happened here? Like,
Is she always? She is.
I think she had a legit knee injury that may actually have her out of action for a little while. So I don't know. I could be totally wrong about that.
Can we? Just because I just saw the graphic for it again.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing our evolution? Why is it not revolution?
It's for Larry the Cable Guy, like, get her done. Like, get her evolution.
Uh-huh. Crossover.
Like, yeah. Even on the logo, there's no separation between the R except for, like, in the background. Like, there's no dash or anything. So it looks like it says revolution. So, like, why aren't we not just saying that?
Yeah, but it works on two levels. I don't know what the second level is, but it's supposed to work on two levels, but it really doesn't.
Well, it's because, wait a minute. Have they done a show called Evolution, or am I just making that up? Didn't they have
later, I think.
So they haven't done that one yet. So
We've had a rival takeover and fatal four way.
Yeah.
Fatal four way. They should have put the R.
Oh, that's right. So we had a rival and then we had the first takeover, right?
Yeah. They're into the R's. I don't know why.
They are into the R's.
There's no R in NXT or anything. I don't really know what the obsession with R is.
Because fatal four way was called rival, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, we did a...
It was Fatal 4-Way / Rival or something. Like, for some reason, they're obsessed with that R branding. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, is it a play on a rival? Rival, arrival, RAR revolution?
I don't think so. I don't know.
But why? It's so...
It's so stupid. Yeah, nobody gets it.
Nobody, I mean, it doesn't signify anything.
I'm just saying somebody had to think that up, you know?
Did they?
Back to the running theme of this episode, which is who is doing this?
I need to know.
Like, who is this for?
We're 20 episodes in, and I'm just now going,
who's responsible?
Where do I write my email?
Who is R responsible?
Who is R responsible? I need to speak to your manager.
All right. We get another silent film from the vaudevillains here called The Fall of the Lucha Dragons. We find out that the Lucha Dragons are dropping water balloons off of City Hall.
Oh.
And
those
again,
scampy fucking dragons. They spit fire. Why are they fucking around with water balloons?
The titles are in danger. So, of course, this time the vaudevillains have to train first. They train by taking on a lion this time. And they end up tied the Lucha Dragons to an anchor and dropped them. And that is how they foiled them again in this film. So, all right.
How many stars are we giving that film?
Two
thumbs up.
I only give star rings to the talkies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Rav and Arul.
Naru.
Okay, but the vault villains are going to be competing against kind of a favorite on the pod here, a favorite little underneath team of Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake.
Uh-huh.
I guess the Cowpokes, I think we called them before, or something like that.
I think Cowboys. Tim named them something.
Yeah.
No, weren't we calling them Wes and Bud or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I don't think that was me, though.
Yeah,
all right. This is the point where Alex, Albert has been calling them the Vaudevillians for like ever, forever. And Alex Riley finally corrects him and says, it's not the Vaudevillians, it's the Vaudevillians. Get it? Because they're villains. Don't you understand? And he's like, well, whatever. Tomato. He's like, tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato.
I liked the Vaudevillians' offense in this. I thought they had some good teamwork. They worked smoothly together. I liked Aiden slamming Blake into the ropes. I thought he kind of used some rope-based offense here. Gotch comes in with the leg lock while dropping the elbow. I just thought they worked in some cool stuff here with their 1920s-based offense. Both teams busting out some cool stuff. I thought, Wes and Bud usually do. We kind of enjoy their kind of move set. Good smooth teamwork by the Vaudevillians, working the leg of Wesley Blake until Murph comes in hot. Nice forearm to a snap debt breaker by the Vaudevillians to get the win. They called the Whirling Dervish. It was like a neck breaker type move, but that ends it. I thought this was a fun match. I thought it was a pretty good little one of the more competitive tag matches we've got on all these episodes that are mostly squashes. I ended up going a whopping 2.25. So y'all tell me how this match sucked and everyone gave it a quarter star or something. I'm too positive.
I watched this and it felt like time slowed down and I wished I was dead at the end. No. I thought this was the definition of like a 2-star match, basically. Mm-hmm. So I went 2 stars on it. I don't think nothing we haven't seen before, but it is nice to get just a actual competitive, not only tag team match, but match period here in this stretch of shows. And put a little shine on the Vaudevillians before going into the, I keep calling it the pay-per-view. We'll just call it the pay-per-view to challenge for the titles. It would suck if like their big claim to fame going into that match was, oh, we beat up a very non-competitive team of little people to show like what fierce competitors we are. Like that would kind of suck if that was our last real exposure to them in the ring before the match with Lucha Dragons. So I'm glad that sort of washes the bad taste out of mouth that left behind. I like Wes and Bud. I like seeing them have, again, just a real match and getting to do their thing and grow as a team.
I would agree, like, the definition of, like, a 2-star tag match. And kind of all over the place with the Vaudevillians. the Vaudevillians. Just last we saw them, they were twirling little people around in the ring, like, and now they're like, never mind, we're just fucking around with that, we'll save that for our home movies, haha, and let me go in the ring and have a real ish match. So much needed, nice break from whatever they think they're doing artistically. And Wes and Blake, Wes and Bud are on the come up. So, like you said earlier about these, you know, the team names, breaking up their names. This one, I wish they would give them a name because.
Yeah, I know.
That's too many, like, white boy names.
It's together. Too many first white boy names.
Yeah. So, like, maybe name them unless we're going to for sure break them up, which is maybe come in as well. because I know Buddy Murphy a little bit, but decent and good to see this match.
Yep. All right. Regal backstage tells Tyler Breeze he can't find Marcus Lee. He has not shown back up to the building, and Tyler tells him he doesn't care. So doesn't care if this man is dead in the ditch somewhere.
Still looking for
that Lego? Yeah.
We're all still looking for it.
Except for Tyler. He doesn't give a shit.
That's something Albert would say. He should have. Look.
Yeah.
That was Mr. Regal's mistake was grilling Tyler Breeze about the whereabouts of Marcus, as if he would know or care. He needs right. to ask someone like Albert. Well, I don't know, Mr. Regal, but we're all still looking for him.
Like Albert has a great value, Jim Duggan.
So, poor man, can't Duggan. You see that? Like that's so
yes.
true. I wonder if they had done that if we would have liked it.
Oh man.
Probably.
If it didn't insist upon itself so heavily, I think it would. Right. It would definitely require not cutting back to the broadcast booth and going, you remember when at SummerSlam in 1990 when Sapphire went missing and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, wasn't that so like high as a kite Renee trying to explain the joke?
Right.
It would be awful.
Yeah. Okay, as we've heard, the fact that Tyson wants Finn tonight, so Regal gives him what he wants somewhat by giving him a tag match. He's going to be teaming with Tyler Breeze, so a little bit of a reluctant team there, and they're going to be facing Finn and Atomic, which is going to be our main event match, even though it won't close out the show. But before that, we will get our dueling squash matches again. We're going to get Bull now is going to be taking on Elias Sampson. He just squashes him as usual. He hits a few moves and then does the splash from the top and pins Elias handily. I gave this one five Sousas.
Oh.
The full five.
Wow.
I don't know about y'all.
Impressive.
Any thoughts on this very new match?
I gave it 10 electrolysis appointments for back hair.
Wow, 10.
It's not going to make a dent. I'm sorry. No, this gets a half a star. It's just a scientific squash. All right, Jenny.
Yep. I'm going to do my typical one star for Bull Dempsey.
Yeah, Bull gets a star. He's above
he does.
Bull gets a
above
star.
Whatever. All right. So as we saw earlier, they're going to pass each other again, Corbin, and they'll kind of make eyes at each other, continuing the rivalry. This is the one where I have no idea who Baron Corbin faced. I don't think they said it.
No, I have no idea. Question mark too.
Yeah, I have not really sure who this is supposed to be. But during this, we get the big news that Corey Graves is going to have a special announcement at TakeOver. So another reason to watch. But
hell yeah.
To no one's surprise, Corbin wins with the End of Days and does no other moves. I gave it one stomach face is my rating.
Stomach
for
face.
For Baron Corbin.
Dud.
I love that you give him a dud.
What's better than a dud or a whatever? Like, what's the hierarchy there?
A whatever's less than a dud.
Oh, okay.
I think I would agree. Yeah, whatever is sort of. I didn't even need to see this. A dud, at least, like maybe had a move that you popped for.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's all the match was.
There's some potential between this, rivalry here between Bull and Baron. So, but I'm giving the edge to Bull on that one and giving this fucker a dud.
Well, I was. I approached this with, the same attitude that I do any scientific squash match and gave it a half a star. Look at me being fair.
Look at you.
Being fair to Baron.
I think that your attention started waning. I think this is when...
This is not when I cut
the show off. this is when your ailment started.
My ailments. I did not cut the show off at this point, if that's what you're implying. I cut it off right after the match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think I had about, full disclosure, I had about 12 minutes of show left. Before I just
bailed. I love how you just like went, no, let's record. I'm done
with this. Yes.
All right. Let's fill Tim in on what he missed. We get another Kevin Owens video package. And this he focuses on everyone that was picked to come to WWE before him. Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, who he kind of mentions his relationships with all those. But I don't know. I continue to like these. I kind of dig this. I liked him mentioning everybody that's got here ahead of him and all that. I was trying to and also just tried to think of, in this moment, like try and separate myself from, you know, what happens with Kevin Cena All Elite after, you know, in the coming years, and just kind of think about if I would be in 2014, I guess.
Right. Well, and you sort of have to, I don't know, also separate yourself perhaps from the knowledge that not so much people got picked above him as, I don't know that everybody was, like, you get to a certain point these indie guys aren't, they are not all jumping at the chance to, you know, go get buried in WWE versus on the indie circuit doing their thing. But as a character, I like that they are already setting him up as somebody who has a chip on his shoulder. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, yeah, pushing this prize fighter gimmick, but he's also going to be kind of an asshole, it sounds like. And we're sort of hurting for a real strong heel presence here in NXT. Perhaps he will fill that gap.
We'll see.
Yeah, maybe like a more serious, intense heel, because I think most of our heels are kind of, like, even Tyson, when he's heel, he's, you know, obviously not a prize fighter or anything. All right, we'll go to our main event match. It's going to be the tag match that was set up a minute ago. Finn and Itami versus Tyler and Tyson. It's all Finn and Itami to start off with as we go into the unneeded commercial break. Tyson and Tyler not really getting along well, and so Finn and Itami are all over them. We come back in, and a back elbow allows the heels to gain a little bit of momentum. Itami ends up getting the tag to Finn, and Finn unloads with some No, I'm sorry. Itami gets the hot tag. He comes in and unloads with some pretty awesome kicks. I enjoyed his kicks. But Tyson cuts him off as he is fighting with Itami. Tyler is hung up on the ropes and get nailed with a sick. Like, to me, this was the spot of anything we watched. Like, he hits the double stomp, which will later be known as the coup de grace, obviously. But it's like as Tyler's hung on the ropes, like hanging over in like just an insane spot. Like, he could so easily just like snap his neck with this. It was, I mean, I don't know. I was just thinking that's got to take a lot of trust to let somebody do this to you. Because if he just like unloads on the back of his head, like, that would not be pretty. But
People would think it's very pretty for Finn Balor to unload on the back of their head.
Touche. But anyway, Itami lands his own kick. A kick to end it to kind of capitalize on Finn's move, and they win the match pretty handily. Good tag match. I like the teamwork and the cutoffs for both teams, and I thought the finish was awesome. That spot again, that Finn spot with the stomp while Tyler's on the ropes was insane. I don't know. I enjoyed this a good deal. I went 3.25 on it. That was a good tag match. I like Finn and Itami, even though we said Itami's maybe been put on the back burner a bit. I think, I mean, as far as in-ring, I kind of like their dynamic as a team. I don't know about y'all.
Easily Itami's best showing that we've seen so far, because he's not getting his ass beat in some way. So that's good. Like, to me, this whole match is worth it just for, like, us to see a little bit of what Itami can do, because I don't feel like we've seen that at all. And to some extent, Finn, like, him and Tyson didn't really tear it up last time, so Finn gets to hit that sick move, and, you know, it's good. Like, this is more of what I want to see in an NXT show. So I did 2.75 stars.
Well, I was going to say, based on Jake's description of the play-by-play there, it sure sounded like a 2.75 star match to me. Jenny, that's what you gave it, so that's what we're going to write down.
All righty.
Add it to the sheet.
I am actually watching the match as we...
Yeah, well, when you finish...
I was in no hurry to actually finish it, you notice. Probably going to just stand by that rating.
Afterwards, Fink gives a... No, go ahead, Jenny.
No, I was just going to point out some dumb shit they said on commentary about...
Oh, please do. Please
about,
do.
About Tyson Kidd's toughness. I'm like, he literally just hid behind his wife in the... this guy's tough. He trained in the okay.
We trained with Anvil, eating Pringles.
Oh right. Yeah, for sure.
I love it. They just like say Eddie, like they forget who's supposed to be a heel. So they're like, hey, what generic comic can we make now? Oh, he's tough. The dungeon, etc. Whatever.
Yeah. Double foot stomp sounds so fucking dumb. And when does that move get named? I need it to be soon.
Right. As opposed to the single foot stomp.
Right.
But Finn calls out the Ascension and gives an ominous warning that he's bringing something that they have never seen at TakeOver.
I bet he is.
Right. Right,
there's a sexual innuendo in there, but
who would catch it?
I'll leave it alone.
Okay, we go to our main event interview segment again. And it's again going to be Sammy and Neville as they're out for a face-to-face as the final standoff before their big match to take over. Neville is all dressed up as usual, and he is not conflicted about this match at all. His goal is to win at any cost, and that is what separates him from Sami Zayn. Okay, he says he does not, he's not proud of what he had to do against Sammy, and if it was his way, it would have been different, but he did what he had to do. He reiterates that he won't be held responsible, that if Sammy decides to leave, he doesn't want Sammy to leave when he beats him, but he's very sure in all of this to always mention that he knows he's going to win. He never says, like, if, you know, like, well, when Sammy leaves, it's not going to be my fault. Sammy comes out pissed off and says that Neville says he's too nice. It's his decision. He decides his own fate. And Neville says it's going to be the match of their careers. Puts his hand up for a handshake. Sammy does not want to shake his hand and says it's not about respect. Slaps the piss out of Neville to show that he's not nice. And he says, you don't end me. I end you. And we close the show with that as our final moment going into TakeOver. Pretty intense Sammy here. What did... were we digging this? Did we like Sammy finally kind of getting angry?
I did. But for me, this is about Neville. And like Sammy's like whole road to whatever is like whatever. I mean everybody that anyway, I do like him like showing a little bit of fire against Neville here, but Neville is just so calm and confident and like he could like he looks amazing. He's, you know, I just feel like he's very impressive. He knows what he's talking about and there's no doubt in his mind that there's no way that Sammy has ever taken this belt from him. And I believe him, you know, everything I've seen to this point, Neville's done everything exactly right, like, for me. Like, badass matches, he's good on the mic, he's a little, you know, he's just low-key, steady, and awesome, like, all the time. So he has tons of cred with me. Sammy, on the other hand, you wishy-washy friend, you got issues. This guy been my champ. You've been losing matches and talking about your road. So... in that fashion, I'm sure Neville is going to lose this title to Sammy. But this is my most anticipated match.
Yeah, well, I think that's well said. I'm looking at the interview now, and
Neville looking quite dapper.
Yes.
And I think you really sums up his character well to say he kind of does everything right, and everything he does looks incredibly impressive and just exudes class, exudes that sort of quiet confidence contrasted with Sammy's, like, yeah, you root for him. Yeah, he's a spectacular performer, but he's also, as you sort of were suggesting, Jenny, he's like the messy friend who you want the best for, but a lot of times he won't get out of his own way. And I mean, I love the guy, absolutely, and I'm very much looking forward to the match, but it's not one of those situations where I'm like, I'm looking forward necessarily to Neville losing, right? Like, I want to see Sammy get his due, but Neville's been so great in this role that it doesn't feel like it's, you know, with some champions, it's like, okay, it's time to take the belt off of him. And I'm not feeling that at all with Neville, really. He's just, he's so, like, won me. If nothing else, he has probably won me over more than, not that I was ever down on him, really, but I don't think I just ever realized how incredible he was.
Agreed.
And still is to this day, quite honestly. So, yeah, I know this is a great match. I love the match from the first time I saw it when it happened live, and I can't wait to revisit it. And I don't know. I wish we could somehow, we need to preserve Neville. We need to go back and undo some of the injustices that were perpetrated against this man, because he deserved so much better than he got. But hell of a way hell of a way to end the show, and the road to redemption for Sammy and the build for this next takeover. I'm pretty pumped, and Sammy's showing some fire with the slap. I like that, because a lot of times these face versus face matches can be a little bit boring, right? Just in how they are put together. It's strictly on the basis of respect, or even in this case, the two of them are friends. Whereas here it's like, no, like, we're seeing that desperation from Sammy. He's waving off the friendship, basically laying it all on the line. It's not even about respect anymore. It's about doing what he has to do by any means necessary to win this title. So is this going to be a turning point for the Sami Zayn character? That remains to be seen.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like the slap a lot. It does make me wonder, especially listening y'all describe it, like, if their main focus was the Sami story, would they have been? It's a little like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, because they don't want to turn Neville completely heel because he's such a good face. Yep. So I feel like that sort of cut Sami's legs out a little bit, because he's not going against, like, ideally you'd have the underdog Sami who keeps getting screwed over. That way, because the way we're saying it, we're like, well, I mean, Neville's pretty badass. Like, he just always wins. He's just really good. So it does kind of make it seem that, well, Sammy loses all the time. Does he really deserve, you know, it kind of, it's hard to really get as attached to Sammy as you want to, because he's not facing an all out heel. So, but I kind of understand why they're doing it.
It puts them on a little bit more even footing too, going into that match, because you already feel like Neville's flirting with that too, that, like you said, the tweener thing. And then now Sammy's kind of stepped into that as well. So now it feels like, well, anything could happen.
I feel like maybe they should have put a little bit more heat on him for faking the knee thing, for kind of using the knee as a cop-out in the match, like, to kind of maybe help Sammy, like, realize, yeah, he should have just, you know, not been sympathetic towards him, but maybe put a little bit more on Neville for being, like, using a cheap tactic. They don't really, like, ever really blame Neville for doing that, even though it is a little bit of a heelish move. Like, maybe play that up a little bit more, but, you know, I'm nitpicking, but I still enjoyed this whole segment, and I'm really looking forward to the match.
Yeah, short of changing the match entirely as far as
Sammy just facing somebody else for the title, like you said. Like a real Sammy's character would definitely complement like a real prick asshole heel, like a Randy Orton kind of dominant dickhead heel, sort of who you want to see get beaten. So yeah, it does sort of I don't know, maybe diminish the impact that you don't want to see Neville lose the title necessarily going into this
right
to anybody, and like, but you do want Sammy to get his big win, and it's like, I don't know, I think at the end of the day I kind of like Neville's somewhat Bret Hart-ish booking where it's more about being the, you know, the champion, the competitor who takes all comers than it is being Sammy's friend. I think that does serve him pretty well in a way that going all out heel really would not. I don't know that that would really, not saying he couldn't pull it off because he does work pretty well as a heel. You know, as we've kind of seen in recent years, but, I don't know that I want it for this feud. It's definitely tough.
Right. And I think they've walked it well to where you kind of keep, that would be more if you want to put all your eggs in the Sammy basket, I guess, like go all in on him. This is kind of leave you the option, but still good either way. And I'm sure it's going to be a great match, but, that wraps up our final episode before TakeOver. Did we ride the ship? Are we going to get past the 2 on this one rating wise is the question.
Well, Tim didn't even finish it, so I don't think he gets
it. It was an improvement, though. I will say, without
and he probably missed the two best things.
Yeah,
the two best things on any of these shows.
Yeah,
that's the fault of the shows before this one.
That's also fair.
It just took all of it out of me. It just drained my life force. Having just finished the show, I'm feeling more positive about it than I was the last two. Give it a 4.
All right.
The show that I didn't finish gets a 4.
Yeah, I'm going to do the 4.5. And once again, we have like crescendoed through all the bullshit. And we're like in this other dimension of like good NXT. Like, so fingers crossed that post TakeOver we can stay a little bit more even.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the 5 because I like the ending segment. I kind of like that tag match and a lot of the stuff before it. But even the Baron Corbin and Bull stuff were squashes, but at least like the little thing they're doing with them dueling with the dueling squashes. And I think by the end of it, I was pretty hyped for TakeOver. And I feel like it's going to be pretty good because we're going to get some good matches. We're going to get the KO debut. Like, I think it's going to be a pretty fun show. So I'm going to go a solid 5, which is much improved. So maybe not crescendoed as much as we're used to. We started shittier than usual, and then we picked it up not as good as usual. But I guess it is what it is. Mm-hmm. All right. Are we ready to go to some awards?
I think so.
Let's do it.
Best match. I don't know. We might be all over. I'm going to go with that Finn and a Tommy tag on the best match.
Oh, yeah, I got to do that as well.
Let's see. The best match that I watched looks like it was Finn and Tyson, although that main event tag probably should get the win.
Sounded good.
Sounded better than Tyson.
Jenny, did you say best match, Jenny?
Yeah, it was the tag.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Worst match. We have a lot of competition here. I don't even know if I can pick a worst. There's so many that are kind of in this same sort of...
It's like, the vaudevillains. Let's just all say it.
Oh, yeah. For counting that.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Let's give it that. It deserves to be trashed. So, worst match, vaudevillains versus the, in quotes, Lucha Dragons. Rising, I have KO, because even though he wasn't on here, I'm excited for his debut. Finn, I think, is Rising. Sammy, even though he's always been presented pretty well, he's really, you know, the road to redemption. We're getting to the end. I think Sasha, because she could, like, she's being put in this big match, she's starting to ascend. I don't know. Anybody else rising? That's who I have.
Mella, for me.
Oh, yeah, Mella.
Baron Corbin.
The West Bud. Even though they lost their match.
Yeah.
I'm going to still tell.
I see what you mean there. Excuse me.
Joe Dill? Maybe Joe Dill?
No.
Not so much.
In neutral, the neutral Joe Dill.
Yeah, the neutral.
The neutral dragons.
Neutral dragon.
Falling, I have the Ascension for sure. They're always falling, perpetually falling. Tyson, because he's kind of descended down into maybe more of the mid-card. He's definitely not a main event player anymore. Marcus Lee is falling into a deep
he's falling dark through place. The earth. Yes.
I know.
CJ Parker.
What do we feel about Tyler Breeze overall? Is he pretty much level two?
I think relative to where he was, he has fallen a bit. I would agree.
Yeah, a little bit. Especially in the ring. Because he's not getting much to do.
Yeah, is Bayley falling?
Yeah, Bayley's falling.
Yeah, character-wise, for sure. She's regressed.
Literally.
A child.
God. What are we doing?
Blue pants descending.
Yeah.
MVP. Who do we have for MVP? I don't know. It's hard because it's like Sammy and Neville, but they didn't really wrestle. So
that's
a weird one.
I'm going to say Neville. He had the most impact for the little amount of time he was out there.
Braden Hardpack.
Good choice.
All right, I'll go Neville.
Can I have none for this category?
You can.
Sure.
I guess it was Neville.
I'd probably go Neville, or maybe, I don't know, Finn, because he kind of carried it in ring a little bit. He was good in ring. I don't know. MVP, whatever.
MVP. Put it down for whatever.
LVP, whoever's responsible.
Everyone else.
For writing.
Yes.
The hypothetical writers of this fucking show.
Full Sail University.
Or Marcus Louis.
Marcus Louis.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Best moment, I'll probably go with the Sammy slap. Very close is that coup de grace on Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, I like the slap a lot.
Tyler Breeze abusing Marcus Louis and then
sir
pinning him in 1 second.
Marcus Louis wandering out of the building.
Yeah.
Maybe to meet his demise.
Into traffic, yes.
The Jingle All the Way to commercial.
All right. So that wraps us up for another episode of PT MXT. What do we have going on, Tim? Tell us what you have going on.
Oh, God. Just follow me on Twitter. I am at Cyke68, CYKE68 on Twitter. I do some other podcasts on right here, Place B Nation Wrestling. That would be Talking WCW. Check out our affiliate shows as well, those being on the North South Connection, where I do 9021 NOSO with JT Rosero and a guest each episode, a new guest, rotating guest. We're going to need a lot of guests. There's a lot of episodes of the original Beverly Hills 90210. We're going to cover them all. I'm committed. We're going to do it. So I don't think we can get like 300 individual guests. We're going to have some repeats. We're going to have some people who love the show, who hate the show, who have done podcasts before, who have never done podcasts before. Reach out to us if you want to be on that, and we'll get you booked. And I'm sure Jenny can tell you about some other great podcasts you can check out that some I'm a part of, some I'm not.
Well, you are a part of most of them, we're being honest. We just had our spooktacular, I'm talking pop on the Janie position. That is basically just like a grab bag of like cool Halloween stuff while we also live watch Arachnophobia. So awesome episode. Listen to that.
Loosely live watched.
Yeah, loosely.
It was on.
It was a background. And then for the entire month of October, every Friday you can find an episode of Freak Out Drive-In, which has made its return to the feed. Awesome movies on there. Tim, you and I did just madness. We did madness. Hellraiser
for the first returning Freak Out Drive-In. Yes.
And then a bunch of good ones. So check those out. And then Freak Out Driving will be probably monthly after that. More if I want. We'll just see, I guess. And my wrestling content right here on Place to Be with Tim with Talking WCW. And on North South with TNA Never Dies and The Extreme Three-Way Dance. You can find me on Twitter at Jenny Position and on my Facebook page.
Very good. I'll plug on this, on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, relatively new podcast we do called YouTube Roulette, where we pick some matches that are just random matches on YouTube and we live watch them and run our mouths over it. It's a lot of fun. And it's fun to watch kind of obscure stuff that I've never seen before. So go check that out on this feed. And yeah, you can find me on the North-South Connection doing the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast every 2 weeks. So I think despite maybe not the best episodes, anytime we don't get the best ones, I still enjoy talking with you two about them. It is always a good time. And
always.
We will be back in a month with the Takeover Evolution. So our hypothetical list was we will see you there for Takeover episode 20. 20 episodes. But we got the worst ones we've ever watched on this one. So there we go. All right. See you in a month. Revolution.
PTB NXT has left the building.